Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Doug Loves Movies, but this is an extra special episode, you guys, not only because we got the extra wobbly table, but also because, well, for reasons that they will reveal themselves as we move through the process. We are at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles in front of a live audience. Let's hear it, audience. You're sounding good tonight. Sometimes people write to me on Twitter and MySpace and they're like, "Was there an audience even there for that last one?" And I'm like, "Yes. They didn't laugh very much." Or they're just not mic'd properly. But either way, you guys are here to encourage us to hopefully say things that will amuse the listeners. I've gotten several messages from people confirming that, yes, in fact, they do listen to I Love Movies on the treadmill when they're working out. And to those people, I say, you are fucking weird. Just listening to us talk about movies while you're sweating your ass off. I can't imagine it. But God bless you for doing it. And, of course, you know, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles, they do lots of great shows, so come check those out. And also, there's an Upright Citizens Brigade in New York City where I'll be doing my show, The Benson Interruption, on August 10th at 8 o'clock. So if you're in the New York City area, get your tickets for that. My CD, here's a reason why today is special. My CD, Unbalanced Load, on Comedy Central Records came out today, and on the day that we're taping this, you'll hear it a few days hence. And is that even right? I've never tried to use the word hence. And then I would like to just brag about how it is currently, on the first day of its release, number one on the iTunes comedy chart. So I'm, So I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to dip into the 40s and 50s in the next day or so. But I've never been number one for anything. You know, I came in number sixth place on Last Comic Standing, and that's hard to brag about because, let's face it, like, you know, the Oscars, if you came in sixth place, it means you weren't nominated. Or you were if you're a movie, and the Best Picture nominees are going to be 10 this next time around, which is just going to be, that's another thing that's going to be stupid. 10 nominees. You know there's going to be two or three things that slip in there that's just like, really? Come on, year one for Best Picture? Okay, so I love everyone involved in year one, and I haven't seen it. Last time I was here, I couldn't remember who I decided gets to say who is a shithead at the end of the show. So I did a contest on Twitter and then forgot all the results. But the man's name, or woman, could be, but the picture was a dude, is BK Maynard, at BK Maynard on Twitter. And so he gets to decide who's a shithead. I went back and figured it out, and so I will say it at the end of this particular episode. And one more thing before I bring out our guests. I saw several movies over the weekend. It was called Funny People. What? Again, I like those guys a lot, but that's a solid joke about a movie that seems like several movies. I didn't dislike any of them, though, I must say, as opposed to like when... let's not get into it. I was going to start ragging on that Quentin Tarantino double feature thing, but that, I like that, too. All right, so let's get this going. Let's bring out the guests for tonight. These guys are both regulars from when it was on, and I miss it dearly. They're both regulars on the Adam Carolla radio show. Please welcome Patton Oswalt and Adam Carolla. Come on out, fellas. Just come on out.
You can lean into it or just pull it out of the thing if you want.
Talk into it. Oh. Hi, Patton and Adam.
Hi, pod listeners. Awesome.
Did you hear the crazy intro I gave you? I tricked everybody by saying you were both regulars on the Adam Carolla show. One was extremely regular, and the other was on quite often. Like, Patton, do you miss it as much as I do getting to go on that show?
Yeah, that was one of those really good radio shows that. What, you know, a lot of radio shows, the hosts are always, they're doing that kind of leaning forward, and what's the next joke, what's the next, and Adam would actually, I can't do it or I'll fade out, but you would lean back and relax.
Well, what it was mean? Early, it was so early.
Yeah, that's,
I'm
yeah.
so tired.
Just wind Patton up and watch him go. Right, yeah. That's what you do when he's on. When I'm on, you. When I'm on, you do most of the talking.
Well, that's when I put my dancing shoes on. Yeah, I actually had shoes that said Doug Benson's on dancing shoes. They're Capizios I had made up for me specially, and I just start tapping my ass off.
I just throw in an occasional what or huh.
But I had some Patton Oswalt. I had Patton Oswalt slippers that I would actually put on, and I would just lean back. And I used one of those pillows, those inflatable horseshoe pillows you use when you travel.
One of those weird cool collar things you can just turn.
I, by the way, saw in the Sky catalog the older, larger brother to the inflatable neck roll pillow, which is just this huge hump you strap to yourself that you can fall asleep this way.
Why not just get pregnant?
Or like Danny DeVito fat, where you just have that nice, you know, like he really, it's kind of brilliant. It's like he packed it precisely so he can nap on planes.
Well, he wears his penguin outfit on planes.
There you go.
He sleeps standing up. His coffin will be a circle. They'll be like, which, I don't know, face him toward Mecca. I don't know which way to put him in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what?
Quite awesome.
I feel like it's morning again.
Mm-hmm. It must be. Yeah, it feels that way, yeah.
It's great, yeah. This is awesome.
So, do you go to theaters often, Adam, to see movies?
No.
Do you have time for that, or do you always?
No, I have plenty of time. I just don't like to support
well, it's not
the arts.
Worth it, so. Yeah.
No, I announce I'm going to movies all the time. Like people announce they're going to quit smoking. But I'm going. We're seeing that.
Yeah.
I yell at my wife, and then 9 months later, I'm like, "When's that shit coming out on Blu-ray?"
Yeah. You know what? It's late Sunday afternoon. We're not going to start today, but tomorrow it's Monday.
Right.
We're
going
to see a movie a day, mm-hmm. and come Thursday. We got it'll iTunes. It's like 2 months away.
I'll right,
just download it.
And then plus is everything. Everything sort of revolves around not seeing people. Like, oh, not Friday night. There'll be other human beings at the theater. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is do that. I like to go to the theater for the communal experience, but I don't want anyone in the fucking theater.
So you know how they have that.
To sit there alone.
You want one yeah. guy at the end of the row that you can give a knowing nod to
right.
when,
so I, like, I'll
when
say
they're that. Fast and furious.
My wife. Hey, don't make fun of that movie, dude. You know I live my life a quarter mile at a time. Like, that's the argument I'll have with my wife. Like, she'll be like, wait till it comes out on cable. And I'll be like, no, part of it is going and laughing and going with other people. And then she'll go, all right, let's see it Friday night. And I'll go, no, too many people. I don't want to see it.
You know how they have all those Mommy and Me screenings on, like, a Monday morning?
Right.
They should have a Me and No One screening where they what the thing is, it's like a 10:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, and they promise we'll only sell 20 tickets. That's the most, so you're guaranteed you'll be there with no more than 19 people. And you'll pay a little bit extra, like $2 extra, just to see it with 19 other strangers.
What about if you show up, find out how many people bought tickets, tell them, go ahead and tell those people it's over, and double it for like a daytime movie, because that'll cost you maybe $60.
That'd be a power move. You mean buy them out?
Yeah, just go show up and buy people out.
God,
fucking
if I,
Gordon Gekko
man,
their asses.
If I could do that.
Out of the movie.
And then just talk on your cell phone the entire movie.
I'm so important, I'll have to pay attention to this movie I just bought for my own self. I love it.
Yeah, don't add anyone on your Twitter account but yourself. Just right. Twitter yourself the whole time.
Yeah.
You're enjoying this.
So you're in the same boat? You haven't seen anything in movie theaters lately?
No, but it doesn't stop us from judging, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, it doesn't stop me either.
No,
I've
like,
got a lot more free time than you guys do because I don't have kids or a chronic masturbating situation ever since I lost my penis. So I just couldn't find
were
it.
Were all
it's
those
around
directed
here somewhere.
At me? Wow.
I'm wow. jealous of your babies, you guys. You have awesome babies that give you an excuse to not go to movies.
Yeah.
I went to a lot of movies that I'll see. I'll either see like an early screening or I'm lucky enough I'll get to go to a premiere sometimes every now and then. So I either see stuff months before it comes out or a year after it comes out. But I never am like, oh, yeah, I went and saw that with everyone. I'm always
well, that's why you're like the guy
or,
that you present things sometimes. Like you see things before yeah. before they're even made. You see
yeah.
them and say, I'm going to throw my support into this. And then when it comes out, yeah. you do that. That's pretty awesome.
I try to.
You did that for The Snake, right? Is that
yep.
the name of that movie?
No. Did anyone see The Snake? When
that
I
one lady
here?
Saw it.
There you go.
Yeah. Evidently it worked. You throwing your full weight behind the project.
Well, hang well, on, it did work in the case of Foot Fist Way. Patton was a big supporter.
Oh, that's
and
true.
Those guys are doing all right now.
They're doing quite all right. And The Snake, you know.
And I did see that one, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's a good one, right?
I was one of those for 80 grand, it was a good one.
Well, then you're going to love
100, you'd yeah. be like, fuck this.
You're going to love The Snake
because well, I mean,
they made that for $700. You saw it, right? There's no way they spent more than $700 on that movie.
Well,
it's
there's no
so
way
funny.
I'm going to watch it.
No, you will.
I'm all about watching money.
I got to take it. Yeah.
Why does Danny McBride get to be in every fucking movie now?
What's funny?
I know, but you're funny.
Who
you're
else
not
you
in every movie?
Somebody comes along. They're the new funny person. They're in
yeah.
everything. You know.
But if you put Danny McBride in a
John
lineup
Heder.
Of people,
yeah. But keep in mind, there was
a guy should be in every movie.
Yeah, but
now?
There were 2 years when Don DeLuise was in every movie ever made, and then he vanished.
Those are what we call the salad days.
Oh, okay.
And we miss those days.
The golden days of cinema. When
yes,
was
there was
everything.
A hot pursuit in every one of Don DeLuise's movies. So
yeah.
Ace Carolla is a big fan.
Yeah, that's right.
Look. I got to shoot Mornings on the End and go finish Hot Stuff at night. I'm just doing 8 movies right now. It's crazy.
So you haven't seen anything? Neither of you seen any of the recent hits?
No, but listen.
I saw Funny People.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right.
You went to like the premiere of that?
Yes, I got to go to the premiere.
There
it was,
you go.
It was good. And I saw...
Good for you.
I saw The Hurt Locker, and someone gave me a screener of In the Loop, but I haven't watched it yet. I'm dying.
By the way, we don't do the radio show anymore, but we used to come up with a good name for TSV, we'd call it, Teresa's Vagina.
Vagina yeah.
The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, that's
solid.
A really good one.
That would have been good, man. Too bad we're not still in the air.
500 Days of Summer isn't bad either.
Yeah, it isn't. I don't
wow.
know how you sound right. Yeah, but it doesn't.
Well, if you take the L out of Public Enemies, it's not bad.
Public Enemy, right. Listen, I.
No, you could leave it in.
All right.
I don't need to have seen any of these movies because I pass judgment. I mean,
you haven't
some of the
seen,
worst
like,
things I say are about people I know the least. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to know anyone. I don't need to be familiar with a country. I don't need to be able to find it on a map to like, just, hate it or love it.
Can you just hear, like, the two main stars and the basic plot of a movie?
I can get angry at it or love it.
Not even seeing the trailer.
Absolutely.
Just, nah,
oh,
like
my
it.
God. I could get... And then I tried it anyway. I got fired up mad about The Ugly Truth with Gerard Butler, our newest male romantic comedy star. After yelling Sparta.
Yeah, I know. Who the hell watched 300 and went, he needs to be cuddling with someone. That guy. I'm going to make... Maybe that was a weird bet. Like it was almost like a rhinestone thing where someone said, the next guy we see on the screen, I'll turn him into a romantic comedy leader. Oh,
I want a titty fuck Dolly Parton. Yeah. I bet you I could get... Hey, you know, I have a story about that movie, actually.
The movie Rhinestone?
No. The Hurt Locker. No, what was that? What's the romantic comedy with Gerard Butler? Yeah, The Ugly Truth. He observed me on my radio show to prepare for that role.
Oh, my God.
He did like a ride-along with me.
Are you making that up?
I'm not making it up.
I totally believe it.
I haven't seen the movie, but he heard me talking about being drunk at Kimmel's for Super Bowl, and he really liked what he heard, I guess. And he said that his character was a cross between me and Howard Stern and that he wanted to come watch the radio show being done. But, like, I didn't interview him or anything. He just sat there and watched.
Did he take notes?
Did you announce on the air that, look, we're not going to interview him, but I'm just letting you know, Gerald Butler is sitting here watching me right now. You can't hear him, but I guarantee you he's here.
He was banging an intern, so I didn't want to say, I didn't want to, like, throw his rhythm off.
Is he just always banging an intern no matter where he
shows
up?
No, sometimes he bangs, too.
Oh, okay.
He's literally sweating through the whole movie because his real accent is trying to get out. Like, it's just a struggle for him to sound American.
I'm sorry, you saw this movie?
I saw, well, I should say, I didn't see the movie. I saw the first 20 minutes of it. I dared some people that I would go and sit through the whole thing, and then I lost the dare because...
What are you... You made a papier-mâché dummy of yourself and left it in the seat so you could escape?
Really, was it that bad that you left?
It was really awful, but, I'd watch it on a plane or something, you know? But
that's why they invented those Danny DeVito pillows, so you don't have to watch it.
Doug, that is a terrible review.
It's true.
That would be your blurb. If you locked me in a metal tube in the sky, I would enjoy The Ugly Truth.
Yes, yes. If there's always potential death lingering on the horizon while I'm watching this movie, I don't want to watch it in the comfort of my own home.
I'd be satisfied for this to be my last memory.
20 minutes. So you got up and left.
Yeah, I did. And I rarely do that. But wow. I was in one of those moods where I wanted to make a point. Because now you can Twitter that you left. It used to be the six or eight jackasses that are enjoying it just looking at you like, what's his problem?
Yeah.
But now you immediately get to go, I walked out after 20 minutes.
So you were like the reverse Rosa Parks of The Ugly Truth, where you stood up and...
I'm the reverse Rosa Parks in everything that I do.
Yeah,
Too soon?
Before
a man, I'm white and I don't stand up for anything. What?
And also... Getting up and leaving before Twitter's just like, Doug Benson has irritable bowel. Spread it around.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't mean you necessarily thought it sucked.
Oh, I told everyone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I did that with Ocean's 13. I got up and left Ocean's 13.
Yeah, because that was supposedly the rebate for Ocean's 12. That was supposedly the make good.
It
was worse than Ocean's 12.
I don't know what week Clooney's going to be on this show, but I have some choice words for that man. I'm assuming I bumped him or Patton bumped him tonight. Yeah. But whenever when we re-pencil him in, he did this tour where
he's sitting next to our birds going, Corona!
He did this mea culpa thing where he was like, you know what? Ocean's 12 was a letdown, but we're back in full force. And sorry for Ocean's 12, but we're going to make it all up.
All of a sudden.
And now, and they suck. Ocean's 13
sucks. It
was
even worse because it was just a knockoff of the first one with nothing added except for Al Pacino's histrionics.
I didn't see either of the sequels.
Don't you have this theory? I have this theory that people that use too much Grecian
Attica!
I think Al Pacino's poisoned his brain with too much Just for Men. Like, you know the guys who dye their hair too much? Like, your hair, listen, I'm no neurosurgeon, but it goes right in your skull, right? I mean, could you not be poisoning
your
brain with this stuff?
You say right?
Well, I mean, the
right?
roots of your hair go, yeah. How far away are they from your brain?
It turns you into a mythical beast called Grayskull.
Yeah, I'm going to guess there's
you
a
never die.
Maybe there's a bony skull between your hair follicles and brain, but all right.
Listen, right.
I'm just, this is all from Max rerun. I'm no X-ray tech.
I'm just saying.
Just from watching Max reruns, I could be
this
wrong.
This is anecdotal. Oh, let me say this
there
about
might be
MASH.
Cracks in my skull.
Let me say this about MASH. Hold on. Do it again. Sorry.
There might be cracks in my skull.
That's right. Maybe some of the Grecian formula penetrated, wise ass.
Some of the formula.
All right.
Got between the cracks in my skull.
All right, speaking of MASH.
And it ate into my brain!
I was watching MASH a couple of weeks ago. They had a MASH marathon. And I was watching it, and I was watching Alda with that long, gray, like dry, dusty tuft of hair. And then what's his name with the Jufro, and another guy with the crazy mustache and stuff. Yeah. And I was watching this, and I thought, wait a minute. This is not Vietnam. This is Korea. This is 1950. This show took place in 19... Korea was 1950 to 1953. Yeah, and Alda had this dry, super long... He looked like Kenny Stabler.
Yeah, but
did I know it's not
like,
something that you guys would get, but I mean, Kenny where did that Stabler. Fucking... Do you know what enlisted men look like in 1950? They were covered with pomade. They'd have super long... And then Honeycutt had the big mustache and the big bushy. I mean, look at their crazy 1970s
says,
hair.
If
it was
watching,
the reinvention of a war that just wasn't interesting.
But what if guys' hair... But guys in the 50, their hair never looked like that.
They looked at the Korean War, and they boldly stepped up and said, this war needs winged hair.
That's
and that
crazy.
Is what they did.
Look at all this hair. There's no pomade.
You know, my brother
Hot
pointed
lips at
the out, end if you're
like Charlie's Angels, but gray hair.
It's like
it was horrifying. Yeah.
I do love it. Like, they always talk about jumping the shark, but like I like it on Happy Days when Ralph Mouth went, fuck it, I'm getting a hair dryer. And I'm going with a full blown feathered back, just full quality.
Well, they were like wearing bell bottoms on that show.
Yeah, they're like,
so
totally after
70s.
Season three, they're just like, fuck
yeah,
it.
But people didn't say the expression sit on it didn't catch on until that show was a hit later, many years later.
I did. Wow. God, you got so possessed saying that.
I really did.
Oh, it's my happy day.
I was so excited with my stupid, because, they made shit up. Also, there was an episode where a space alien came down.
Yeah.
And then he got his own show.
Yeah.
So that happened.
For more.
I remember my brother saying, if you're ever watching MASH and you wanted to figure out, is this the good part of the run or the bad part? If BJ is there with the pink shirt and the mustache, it sucks. Anything post BJ getting the big stash and the pink shirt, that pink shirt that he wore,
old MASH.
Then it's horrible. But early MASH with Frank MASH. Burns,
yeah.
Great.
I like some of the BJ episodes. There was a lot of crossover with Frank Burns.
The early BJ ones, again, before
the
mustache.
You're talking about mustache and pink shirt.
Exactly. There were
as soon as he puts on the pink shirt.
When he grew the mustache and put the pink shirt on.
The episode called The One with the Pink Shirt.
Yeah. When he looked like the bartender at the Regal Beagle all the time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Not 50s hair. Look at pictures of guys from the 50s.
Stopped going outside. Like, it ended up being inside a lot. It was horrible in the end. And, of course, when Radar left, then it was just really ridiculous.
Well, we all remember where we were when...
Potter got preachy, and that's what ruined it for me.
You know, if you go hiking in Malibu Canyon, the MASH set is still up there. You can visit the MASH set. It's there. I mean, it's barely there.
What do you mean? Like
the jeeps, the helicopter landing pad, the frames for the tents?
I think that's a current thing.
No.
Like defending Malibu.
Those are still operational?
Yeah.
You never know when Mexico's going to be made.
Bring in Nick Nolte on a helicopter. Nolte again? When is this war going to... Oh, maybe... what if they, like, never told Jamie Farr the show was canceled? He's just going crazy up in the woods still. Yeah, I'm waiting for the blue pages. Yeah.
That would explain why he's never had a comeback
exactly.
show.
He's up there.
He still thinks he's on a show.
He's done 8 more seasons. No one...
He still needs a Section 8. So... What about movies that you guys are in? Do you have projects in development that we could hear about? Or I know Patton's got a... Adam's shaking his head no.
I was going to do Ocean's 14.
Everyone wants to follow
14,
up to the Hammer. Then, yeah. Hammer 14.
Yeah, I got nothing.
But you're trying, though, right?
No.
Really?
Not really. My phone never rings.
Podcast is keeping you busy?
I never pick it up, even if it does ring. I really should be doing something, but I'm really not. I mean, this obviously, if I was doing something, I wouldn't be here. I mean that's...
That is a
Let's
good
call
point.
Spade a spade. Yeah. Like, I didn't if just he's... break away from the set. And I didn't tell Scorsese I need to take 20 and come over and do Doug's show, you know. Talk about MASH. I mean, I didn't... Obviously, nothing's brewing. You know, here I am, right?
What about you, Patton?
I broke away from the set. I told Soderbergh to suck it.
Do you play the rat in Scorsese's Departed 2?
I was there, yeah. I come out there and... these guys are corrupt! I don't know why I got a Brooklyn accent all of a sudden. I'm in a
rat
little...
Ratatouille moves to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Ratatouille. Get it? It's a fucking machine gun, you yutz. Ah! It's a goddamn joke there. You meatball sucking fag. I don't know why he's so mean. Yeah, play a Stone song behind me while I kick this guy to death.
Now go get your fucking cheese box.
Yeah, go get your cheese grater. All rats.
So you got a movie coming out, right?
You
got a crazed fan movie coming out.
A crazy guy that goes insane.
It's a remake
movie.
Of The Fan with Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
And...
I play the Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro role. It's called Big Fan, and it's by the guy that wrote The Wrestler, and it's his follow-up. And it's
really?
Yeah. No,
wow.
Yeah. And no, it's literally opening the way that I, as a comedian, would tour. It's in a city for a week, and then when it opens the next week in a different city, it closes in that city. It's like they only have like five.
Oh, they drive a print around.
And... Yeah, yeah. We got distribution, and I met like four people from the distribution company that's doing it. And then when they left, we were at a party, and I go, "They seem really nice." And they go, "That's the whole company. That's it. Those are the four guys." So. They're really the company's really behind this movie. It did really well.
Do you think
well.
You have a good shot at one of the 10 Oscar nominations for Best Picture? Is the opening up to 10 going to allow
right.
Patton Oswalt's crazy fan into the mix? Because Wrestler
wow.
would have gotten nominated for Best Picture probably
yeah,
if
probably
there were
would've.
10 last year.
I don't know. We'll see what the reviews are like, man. That's a good question. I don't, you know. I was just joking around,
but if you think it's a good question, that's cool.
It is a good
question. Got some folks coming in.
Wow. Well, it's, you heard Oscar right. chatter, and I go, let us in.
I fear they were leaving.
We yeah. love Oscar
I know.
Talk.
It's like, bullshit, that's going to get nominated. And then I have, like...
Do you think anyone's ever said, like, get me Wesley Snipes or Patton Oswalt? Wesley's currently in... He's, like, being detained at LAX. Then get me Patton.
Yeah. He's in Namibia dodging tax evasion. Yes. So,
Patton was in Blade 3, actually, yeah. though. So they did work together.
Oh, you did?
So that's exciting.
That was quite an experience.
Yeah, just I know we've talked about him before on the podcast, but hopefully the listeners are as stoned as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us again, you, just in a nutshell, keyword nut,
yeah.
about Wesley Snipes.
He is... he's crazy as a soup sandwich, and he wanted to he basically wouldn't answer to anything.
That's
but the,
two episodes of Joel McHale's The Soup
really,
back
yeah,
to back,
soup,
right?
Yeah, soup sandwich. So we need to have a big soup sandwich with a side of soup. That'd be a three episode thing. He wouldn't answer to anything but the name Blade, and he would only he tried to strangle the director one day, literally tried to strangle him, physically tried to strangle him, and then that night we went out, we were all drinking, and Ron Perlman was there in Vancouver doing another movie, so we were at a strip club, and there were all these bikers there, so we went up to the bikers and said, "Hey, if we give you guys a bunch of beer, will you just come in tomorrow just in a like a phalanx around the director just to freak Wesley out?" So we went in the next day with this group of bikers around the director. They just stood around him all day. But I was like, "Wesley, could you..." And also, if you watch Blade 3, Wesley's barely in it. It's all his double. Unless it was a close-up of his face, he wouldn't be in the scene.
I don't like those pretty boys like Ron Perlman, you know? Think they can just whip their cock out and someone's going to start sucking it, you know? I mean, he's obviously attractive, but I feel like he... You know, you need to have acting chops as well. It's not good enough just to be good looking. I mean,
well,
Johnny Depp tries.
When you're in the tabloids every week, you're going to get movies because it's free advertising.
When you and Gerard are out on the town, just laying.
Fucking best beast.
You can walk up to any hot lady in Hollywood and say, "Want to see the Beast?" You're pretty much in business.
Yeah. It was a crazy shoot, and it was also great because it was that. That classic. I want to be part of a troubled movie, and I got to be, I got to be part of one of the most insane productions I've ever seen.
Yeah, they pulled it together pretty good, though. The movie was, the Godfather 3 of the Blade series.
Yeah, movies never get good until the third one, if you really think about it.
It's true. That's where they really get the momentum.
The movie.
That's when Jaws hit its stride.
Yeah.
Jaws 3 was the best.
Yeah.
Can't this jump off the screen? I don't want to see Richard Dreyfuss flat.
Richard Dreyfuss moved on before, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he signed up.
Blade 3 is a C-minus if you see it. But if you know what they went through to make it, it's an A++. The fact that there's actually a beginning, middle, and end, kind of, is such a fucking miracle. They should have given that thing the Nobel Prize. It was amazing.
There's some good stuff in it. It got Ryan Reynolds started as an action guy,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know.
Got him working out, finally.
Finally, that guy pulls his shit together.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus.
God bless
him. But he's always covered up. He'll never take his shirt off. Wait a minute. He's nude right now.
I had to
walking
tear
down
the cover off of my Entertainment Weekly to go to the gym because I didn't want to give anybody the wrong idea. Because Ryan Reynolds was on the cover with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh, he was on the cover. He was on every page with his shirt off. Like... It is.
I think if you flip the bottom corner, you can see a little thing of him taking his shirt off. They did those little cartoons.
A little flip book?
Yeah, just so you can watch him doffing.
I love how in the
doffing, ladies and gentlemen.
I've seen the proposal with Sandra Bullock, but I love the scene where she's terrified that a nude Ryan Reynolds is laying on top of her.
Yeah.
Like her character wouldn't be like, lucky me. It's my lucky
ding
dong.
I'm not gay, but once he was naked and on top of me, I'd let him fuck me. My thing is like, this is divine intervention. I don't know what you're calling
it. I had to fuck my way out of it. I didn't have a choice. Yeah. I didn't want to.
Have you seen his build? It's not like I had a choice.
It's like I was in a jail made of popcorn. I had to eat the bars.
I had to eat my way out of there.
What am I going to do?
It was divine penetration.
Yeah. And he was squeaky clean. He smelled of a Prel. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Besides, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to experiment, Reynolds is the guy to start with.
Yeah,
you don't want to start with Perlman. That's a whole different thing right there.
Ron Perlman, he's a good guy, but you can tell he just comes chilly. You know what I mean? Like that guy. It can't be that clean.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy, but...
Probably like...
Horrible statement here.
It's probably like Alien, where it just burns through the subflooring and goes down to the next floor. And
don't get under it! Give me your pen!
Ron Perlman was in Alien 4.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
He was?
Yeah. He was really good in it. He was a badass.
Oh, that's right. Yeah
that sort of led to, I guess, him being in the movies that he's in.
Yeah. he needs a Kevlar condom. That he needs an oven mitt, not a condom, man.
I couldn't think of Hellboy. I had trouble thinking of Hellboy.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we play a game?
Yeah.
This first one, we'll use this first game to determine who goes first in the Leonard Maltin game. Let's do it that way. That'll be fun. This is I'm going to try something sort of new for the podcast. This is a game I play on Twitter sometimes called Fake Co-Stars. So what we do is we get two co-stars, two names, and then whoever can think of a good title that embodies two of that co-stars, you know, their work together into one movie. I'll give you examples. Last episode, I got the names George Clooney and Peter O'Toole. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of one on the spot, but then later I thought of Three King Ralphs would be a fake co-star for George Clooney and Peter O'Toole. Melanie Griffith and Denise Richards could star in Some Wild Things.
Uh-huh.
It's like something wild and wild things. So, you're getting the gist of
right.
it. But and you're, Patton you're... Oswalt and Drew Barrymore in Ratatouille E.T. Extraterrestrial.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, so in this game is called not sweaty at all, right?
Yeah, it's called making a strenuous effort for humor or fun game. That's so, longer. I call it fake co-stars on Twitter because I don't have a lot of space.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So you come up with these.
I'm
going to
get
co-stars.
A couple names from the audience, and then whichever one of you guys come up with a good title that meets my approval.
Can't
first.
We just get a location and an occupation? Let's just break a Herald
name,
off
name
right
a movie
now.
Star,
come on.
Movie actor. Natalie Portman. Oh,
nice.
That's a good one. Natalie
okay.
Portman. Mm-hmm. And then you, sir, over here with the Love LA shirt on.
Jeff Bridges
and Natalie Bridges. Portman. Oh, this is a good one. Jeff Bridges and Natalie Portman.
The Fabulous Beautiful Women. Beautiful Girls. What the hell was that Portman movie?
L for Lebowski.
that's pretty good. I like that. Let me try to think of one here. What was she in? What?
Closer.
That's a hard one to match up to a Jeff Bridges movie. Closer. It's a tough game. I
Doug, let me just point out the flaw in this game for you.
Please.
You came up with all these witty things. You had 6 weeks in Google.
No, I do them off the top of my head. I don't Google them. But that was L for Lebowski came right
out. That was pretty good, yeah.
That was pretty good. What was yours again?
She was in Beautiful Women, right?
Or Beautiful Girls.
Beautiful. Was she in Beautiful Girls?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So I said, wait a minute, what was the other guy? I smoked too much pie. Oh, I
Jeff
said.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff I said, Fabulous Baker Brothers, Beautiful Girls, or something, whatever that was. Fabulous Beautiful Girls, or something like that.
All right, so L for Lebowski wins the contest.
All right.
What?
She wasn't Elf.
Elf. What's Elf? No, he's not saying Elf for Lebowski.
Wow.
He's saying the letter L. The letter L for Lebowski, like V for Vendetta, that she was in.
Oh, yeah.
Now she gets it. We had a confused audience member. It's been taken care of.
Wait a minute. This is shining some light.
That was
for
really
me.
Sweet, though. That was sweet.
Yeah. What was she an Elf?
I don't know. No. I'm saying that was she was very. She was like the girls. Like you forgot to give us homework over Christmas vacation. Like. I bet you've done that once in your life. And it was like,
you're saying you can just do something clever. You don't have to take two actual movie titles and combine them like I was doing.
I know that's a stretch, but it kind of works.
Yeah, all right. You're allowed to, your artistic license.
For that
okay,
fast.
Okay, all right, I got you.
Yeah, you know, I just thought I'd try this game.
Thank you, Doug. Good for that fast.
I didn't
fast.
Think it would work that great, but it was okay. Yeah, we had some fun with a lady in the audience.
That was fun.
Yeah.
A young woman in the audience.
Yeah.
All right, so let's play the Leonard Maltin game here to wrap this up. Basically, what we have is to level the playing field, because Patton is one of our best players in the history of the podcast. One time he got a movie in zero names, I believe.
I think I'm one of three people that didn't.
The other two people are Dana Gould. Adam knows both of these guys from his show. Gould and O'Connell.
And
Jerry O'Connell. They both got answers right with no name.
He should put his shirt on, too.
Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah, we get it, Jerry. You used to be fat when you were not. Now you're not fat. Now put your fucking shirt on.
I know. And they should, ILM should go back and take his shirt off more and Stand By Me, because he was really had it going on.
Well, how do you get a title with no clues?
You just know
it's an amazing
year.
Ability to combine the you get the year, you get a genre, and the genre in this case is going to be car movies or movies that feature cars.
And also you got to know Doug.
Okay.
You got to know your opponent, man.
Okay.
I'm like Vizzini in The Princess Bride. Just taking what I know of Doug, is he the kind of man that would pick a late period Burt Reynolds or an early? Because Burt Reynolds is from Jupiter, Florida, as everyone knows.
Sure. So they film Gator.
So you're up against it, Adam. So to make things even, I made it car movies, because that's certainly an area where Adam knows. He knows about that stuff.
That
so, and try not to glance at my book, because then you can tell where it is in the alphabet.
I'm gonna stare at Patton's back. And I'm gonna try to think.
Hollywood slang for your career's failing. How's he doing? He's staring at Patton's back right now. That's what's.
We got to get him a sitcom or something. Because he's fucking staring. After that showcase in Montreal, he is staring at Patton's back.
It's also what my construction foreman would yell when we're just sitting around doing it. You guys quit staring at Patton's back. Get fucking back on that clapper. Let's go. Jesus Christ, quit screwing the pooch and watch Patton's back. Let's go now. Drywall ain't going to hang itself. I'm also trying to think if I would know who you were if I was at this angle. No.
So Patton gets to go first.
Oh, God.
And this first movie is from 1988.
Oh, boy.
It's a movie that has something to do with cars.
Uh-huh.
The score for this movie, here's the clue.
Oh.
This is a good clue. Mm. The score for the movie was done by Joe Jackson.
Wow.
I know. I didn't know he did any scores.
I didn't know that either.
And you've got 15 names, Patton, to name this movie from 1988 that has something to do with cars and Joe Jackson.
Fucking shit.
15 names. You could bid big to start, see what Adam does, see if he undercuts you.
God. 88 has to do with cars. Joe.
Talk into the microphone, please.
Oh, sorry. I'll bid four names.
Four names.
I gotta bid four, man. I'm lost.
That's a dumper. Oh, you're saying you're taking a lot of names by taking four out of 14?
I'll go by four.
Okay. So you have to bid three names. Or less, or you have to say to Patton, name that movie, and then I'll give him the four names.
So you get the four names from the bottom.
From the bottom.
Wow.
Bottom, yeah.
Wow.
The tough part of the list.
Right. All right. So I'll say name that movie.
All right. Name that movie, Patton.
Here we go.
He's not happy about it. Good luck.
All right.
Good luck to everybody. Patty Austin is the last name.
Patty Austin.
Then there's someone called Dean Goodman.
No help.
Prior to that, there's another gentleman who's in a lot of movies. His name is Peter Donat. He is. He works a lot.
No, yeah.
Okay, and then your fourth name, 1988, something about cars, is Don Novello.
Oh, motherfucker. Wait a minute.
That's a pretty good clue. Talk into the microphone. Talk it through in the microphone.
88.
He can't think into the microphone, though.
Yeah,
he has to move his
head. Don Novello. Shit. The only one that I could think of that came out around that time, I'm going to say Speed Zone.
Wow.
That's a great guess because it sounds like it's about cars. All right, and you guys jump in when you know it. I'm going to say the rest
now
of the
names.
Now,
when you say Joe Jackson, you mean the father of deceased Michael Jackson?
The father of Michael Jackson, in between slappings and beltings, wrote music
and,
for this motion
and
picture.
Trimming his mustache so he can even look more evil. It's like, how can I look more evil? Oh, I'll thin my mustache out, so it's just pencil
thin.
Are you actually
saying it's Michael Jackson's dad that did the music, or the British guy?
The British guy.
Okay.
It was the British guy.
All right.
You were really worried that we were serious about
that? I don't know.
That?
Like, either way, totally throws me. I can't see Joe Jackson
by that too. Yeah.
At a piano doing stuff for a car movie. I just can't...
Here's what Letterman said. Letterman said, "Lively score by Joe Jackson.
Lively score. Oh man!
So you better jump and jump.
Driving out tonight.
All right. So guess as soon as you as
is
as
she
you
really
knows
driving out with him? Is she really gonna pop that clutch tonight? Is she gonna be on the Nas? Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Marshall Bell, Corky Nemec, Christian Slater, Nina Simasco, Elias Koteas, Dean Stockwell, Mako, Frederick Forrest, Martin Landau, Joan Allen, Jeff Bridges. 1988.
Oh, Heart Like a Wheel.
No.
Heart Like a Wheel.
I don't know.
Wait. Fuck?
It's called Tucker, a Man in His Dreams.
Oh, fucker.
That's wow. only like 90% of that movie's about cars, Doug. The other 10% is talking around a table.
No, most of it is talking, you're and then right. The car won't run and they gotta push it. Remember they're pushing it on stage?
That's a good movie.
Oh, you thought it was going to be something bad?
All car movies suck. I can't believe you picked a good car
well,
movie.
I like some of these car movies.
I never got past
right
the Joe Jackson thing. I got to say.
Right,
I never,
so Adam, right, right, Adam gets a point. That was a weird clue.
Yeah, man.
It was made it harder rather than easier.
Yeah, okay.
But we give a point to Adam.
Patton? Yeah, he earned it. Good play. Good play.
Really burned some calories on that.
All right.
Where do I go home and tell my wife?
You get to go first.
I beat Patton Oswalt. Who's that? No,
you
don't worry.
To go first.
I beat him. Doug Benson. Who's that? Okay, don't worry.
Patton appeared in
don't
your
Don't worry about
wife's
who those guys are. But worry about this game you've never heard of. Mm.
Oh, right. Oh, I don't want to go.
Right. This is from 1980, and Adam gets to go first this time.
Okay. Elvis Costello scored this one.
It's from 1980. It's a car movie. And my clue is, I love this movie. It's one of my favorites.
All right.
And you get 10 names to try to figure out what it is.
Okay, I'll say, still unclear here, but I'll say 6 because it sounds right.
Ooh.
That doesn't feel too bad. Yeah. I think you could do it in 6. What about Patton?
I'll say 4.
Patton jumps to 4.
So
ballsy move from Patton.
Yeah. So we
blew my face last time.
He gets fourth. We get one.
He gets 4 from the bottom.
4 from the bottom.
You could go 3 from the bottom, or you could say name that movie.
I'll say name that movie.
All right, it worked for you last time. Here we go, Patton.
1980?
Yes.
All right.
Wendy Jo Sperber. I know, it's a funny name. She died of cancer.
Yeah.
They're all people Phil Spector's killed. That's the one clue I want to give you.
Wendy Jo. Then there's Andrew Duncan. I love this movie, and I couldn't even tell you who he plays in the movie. But Andrew Duncan has made the listing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael McKean and David L. Lander.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
that
a pretty
is,
good
oh,
clue.
Oh shit! Wait.
People
and
in the audience
cars.
Know it. Don't yell it out. From 1980. Let's put some time on the clock.
Grand Theft Auto.
Now
it's
earlier.
Funny because a lot of people don't know that that title had a question mark at the end.
Yeah. It did.
It was called Grand Theft Auto.
For the makers of B&E?
All right, so Adam gets the point again, but I'll list off the rest of the names and see if one of you can jump in and get it. Joseph Flaherty from that comedy show up north, SCTV. Deborah Harmon, Frank McCray, Garrett Graham, Jack Warden.
I'm going to say the Betsy.
In a dual role, Jack Warden.
Oh, a dual?
Oh,
and
God
Kurt Russell.
Damn it. Used cars.
Yeah, used cars is the answer. Did you guys know that in the audience?
No, I didn't know that.
You love that movie, though, don't you?
No, I never saw it.
Oh, Jesus! You gotta not see that as soon as possible. Make plans to not see it. It's so good.
I interviewed Robert Zemeckis down at Comic-Con, and when I mentioned I was rattling off his credits, I went, and he's director of Used Cars, and people just went batshit. People love that movie.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah.
The boring police
out,
are
people.
Coming to the theater, by the way.
You can't hear it. No one listening to the podcast can hear it, but there's sirens outside. And Adam correctly identified that there was a specific siren of the boring police.
We hear there's something really boring going on in here.
I love how old-timey radio Doug was. For those of you listening at home on the wireless,
well, I gotta
Adam was referring to
he got such
cops
a big laugh from it. Yeah, I want people to be like, why does that make any sense?
Patton has just hit Adam with a pie.
Okay, so we're going to keep playing even though Adam already got the best 2 out of 3. He already beat
poop.
You.
I smash you by doing nothing.
Yeah. No, that's
how about
the,
this last one is worth 80 points?
Game. Oh, that's a good idea.
All right.
Okay, this is worth 80 points.
Wait a minute. I don't like that thing. I don't like that thing where the guy goes, I just beat you 199 times in pool. Let's make this last game worth 200 games.
Yeah.
That's how America was founded, my friend.
Really?
All right.
Why don't you go
blow Osama
rounds?
Bin Laden? You don't like it.
I don't like game shows where the later rounds, the points go so high that why did we sit through the first rounds? What did those have to do with anything?
What if the World Series worked that way? We're up 3-0, but this fourth game's going to be worth 10 games. You can actually go into the new season up 6 games if you win.
Make the first game.
I wish I knew what the World Series was. I would laugh my ass off.
What, a poker?
Yeah.
Okay. Heterosexuals gather together to hit a ball.
Is this Prince's World Series of Love that with him and Sheena Easton every year?
All right, this better be a shitty movie, Benson.
Okay. I hope it is. All right, so this is from Adam gets to go first again. This is from 1983. It's a car movie. Leonard Maltin gives it 2 stars, so I think that's in the fair range for his money, but for my money, it's not that good. And you have 8 names. You have 8 names from 1983 car movie.
If Leonard Maltin shaved that beard, he could just go into like a raping spree, right? And then just grew it back like in his mom's basement, and then he could rejoin society and nobody would know.
He like, could shave his beard and put on a Harry Potter robe.
Yeah, it would give him away, because they would go, what happened when he was raping? It was like, he was really going off about the films of Bob Rafelson. Like, Maltin! Like, he would totally give it away.
All right, so 83.
83.
2 stars.
Car movie, 2 stars.
Car movie, and there's 8 names?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go 4.
4 names, says Adam Carolla.
I'm going to go 3.
Name that movie.
Oh, shit. It's worked thus far. Why not? Yeah, why change your system?
Yep.
Could be a complete shutout here. Okay, 3 names you got from 1983, and they are... the first name...
Nick Lowe scored this.
The first name out of 8 names is Kelly Preston.
Ooh.
Then you got Roberts Blossom. Not a typo. Roberts Blossom.
Good name for TSV.
And Christine Belford. Again, I don't know who that is, so that name's probably not too helpful. But Roberts Blossom, he was always the old coot in everything that needed an old coot.
Right.
And Kelly Preston
83,
had an old cooch whenever they needed a...
No. Wow. Wow. I'm going to say Christine.
That's correct.
Oh, man.
Fuck yeah.
That is a good call.
Roberts, you got to do another one. Since
Roberts
Blossom
is he's the creepy, horrible old man in that, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's always the creepy, horrible
old
man.
You did kind of prompt him for that, though. I mean, you did kind of.
I did, and I picked all car movies.
All right, that's for me. All right.
Okay, here we go. But Patton gets to start this one.
No cannonball runs, no gumball rallies, no real car movies.
Maybe. I was eyeballing Gumball Rally for a long time, but the names are too obscure. The only famous person in Gumball Rally is Raul Julia.
Yeah, he is.
And he's,
I mean, yeah, he was.
He's dead, yeah.
A lot of range, though. Gumball Rally, Kiss of the Butterfly, or whatever that movie was in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
Adam's
a lot of range
family.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Street Fighter. We could name Raul Julia movies all night.
Yeah, we really could.
But then that siren will happen again. All right, here we go. From 1977.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
It's featuring or about cars in some way. Len Maltin calls it hokey. Hokey. Doesn't call it pokey, just hokey. And you have 6 names.
6?
Yeah, how many can you name it in, Patton, from 1977?
In 3.
Adam?
I'll do 2 just to say I'm doing it this time.
Name that movie.
There's no way you're going to get this.
Oh, yeah? Corvette Summer.
Oh, that was a good guess. No, John Rubenstein, or Steen, and R.G. Armstrong, or Strawang.
Okay. The Van.
Really?
Yeah.
That was another good guess. You had 2 great guesses.
Not bad.
Thank you.
I'll give you the rest of the names. Ronnie Cox, John Marley, Kathleen Lloyd. I'm just thinking about my record that came out today, nice. Unbalanced Load. Kathleen Lloyd and James Brolin, a movie about cars.
Oh. The car.
The car.
Oh, shit. Oh.
What kind of car was it, Adam? I bet you know that.
In the car?
Yeah.
It was a Daihatsu Charade. It was an 88. I know it seems weird.
Oh, an 88 and 77? That's amazing.
They got a prototype of a Charade.
This is how cool the car was. In the description, it just calls it a thriller about a killer car. Like, it doesn't even say what kind.
Roland may
every other movie about a car would say what kind.
Roland may have been in Killdozer as well. I'm not sure. So yeah.
This is really sad, but I have a die-cast model of the car on my
phone. Oh, well, I didn't stand
awesome
a chance.
Car. Huge satanic limo.
Really?
Kind of limo-looking thing.
Stretch limo.
Well, that's awesome.
It's back when machinery would be evil. I mean, I know we have Transformers now, but I mean, back then, tractors and things would be possessed.
No one's going to make a movie now called, like, the iPhone. It has some kind of weird...
Yeah, although
it
I did...
Should.
It's texting by itself.
Yeah. I did have an idea for one called Navageddon, where... Well, now, seriously, hear me out. And, but promise me none of you homos are going to pitch this tomorrow. You know that Lexus that parks itself? You know what I mean? I mean, see, you know, it's the year 2035, and the doors lock, and all the cars steer themselves, and all of a sudden the evil satellite sends all the cars for the Grand Canyon. Like... You just get in your car and you think you're going over to the Gelsons. All of a sudden, the door's locked, the steering wheel takes over, and you know the skull and crossbones on the screen. You know what I mean? And then you just go plunging into the Grand Canyon.
But they take a Polaroid of you as you're plunging, Thelma and Louise style.
Right. But I play a scrappy ex-Navy SEAL who's driving a 72 Ford Broncos. Like, I don't go for all this technology. And I got to get up there and stop that satellite.
You told me you didn't have any movies cooking.
Wow.
That's great. I'm
paired with a wisecracking Roomba robot, you know, who goes up there with me and helps me.
Oh, is it named Flory?
Yeah, Flory, yeah.
Now, what's it like working with Ang Lee?
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Do you guys have any plugs real quick before we go? Anything you want to plug? Anything going on? Adam's got the Adam Carolla podcast, of course.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing Blade 9.
Blade 9's coming out.
Yeah, we got the podcast. And there's, speaking of cars, there's the CarCast, a weekend podcast show about cars.
All
about
cars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you can check that out.
I'm in a big fan opening August 28th.
Which city does it open first?
It'll open in New York and Philadelphia. Get it. Because it's about a rivalry, and then it goes nationwide. Oh, I said that like it said, and then it goes nationwide. I'm very sorry that it will be coming to a theater near where you are.
Total sellout nationwide release.
Yeah.
Not like my smaller Pixar
movie.
Yeah,
a bunch of fucking people watching it like a loser.
I'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati August 20 through 24. Let's have a round of applause for Patton Oswalt and Adam Carolla. As always, Dakota Fanning is a shithead.
Now it's time to